In the gospel, we heard about Jesus healing two blind men and then casting out a demon and the response of the Pharisees. This is a critical turning point in the gospel story. Many people think that the Pharisees were the enemies of the ministry of Jesus. Well, they were at a certain point, but not early on. The word Pharisee, even for us, what does it bring to mind in English? If I say, oh, don't be such a Pharisee, what do you think of?
Hypocrite.
Hypocrite, right? Because at the end of the gospel, Jesus is going to condemn the Pharisees and the scribes who were with them, calling them hypocrites at the end. That's at the end of the gospel. That's in Matthew chapter 23, okay? Just before he condemns Jerusalem to destruction as well. Early in the ministry, however, before chapter 9, the Pharisees were trying to figure Jesus out. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees, the word parashim, separated ones. They come about sometime during the Maccabean era. We don't have all the details of that era except for the books of the Maccabees. They tell us that there were some pious ones who followed Judas Maccabeus. They were not just soldiers, but they were called the pious ones, the Hasidim. And from them, most likely then, comes the Pharisees, maybe the Essenes, we don't know. The origin of these groups that were around in the first century is a bit of a mystery. By the time we get to the first century in Jesus, we know that there were various sects of Judaism. There were the Sadducees. This was one party, religious party. They believed that the problems of salvation history could be followed one way. The Essenes believed something else. The Zealots another. And the Pharisees, our focus today, their understanding was this. If the reason why we went into exile and the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587, and we have been under foreign rule ever since, if it was all due, as the prophets had said, to our iniquity, to our sin, to our not keeping the Torah, then the solution to the problem we now face, that is, there is no Messiah ruling over us, the King. The glory cloud of God has not yet returned to the temple. We are still under foreign rule. As Nehemiah said, we are still in exile, even though they had returned to their land. The Pharisees' solution was this. If it was the breaking of the law, the Torah, that got us into this trouble in the first place, then the reason why the Messiah has not yet returned, the King of Israel, the reason why the glory cloud has not yet appeared in the temple, as Ezekiel said it would after they had returned and rebuilt, is because we are not yet keeping the Torah perfectly. And there's a reason why they said this. Not only had the prophets warned them of the coming destruction due to the breaking of the Torah, but the latter prophets in the post-exilic period, Malachi in particular, said that the reason why the glory cloud has not yet returned to the temple is because you are not yet ready. And if God appears in His glory in the temple now, He is a consuming fire. And He will burn you up like impurities in the refiner's fire. And so He says, I will send you before that time the prophet Elias, the prophet Elijah, to prepare you for my coming. Who was that? We know John the Baptist came and prepared the people for the return of the glory cloud to His people. That glory cloud is the God-man, Jesus Christ. The glory cloud dwelling among His people in the incarnation. And the people were not prepared. He had sent Elijah the prophet, to prepare them. That is, John the Baptist in the spirit of Elisha. They were not yet ready. He even sent them Elijah again. on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses, who appeared to Jesus before he entered into Jerusalem. Again, when he entered into the temple, when the glory cloud came to the temple, it found it wanting. But that's the end of the story. More on that as we approach Holy Week, quite some time from now. Right now, we're hearing in the early part of Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees trying to figure out Jesus. The Pharisees were pious Jews of the first century who were trying to keep the law perfectly. If you were in the first century, I hope you and I would have been Pharisees. Pharisees? No, not that. No, I don't mean hypocrites. I don't mean enemies of Jesus' ministry. That's later on, after 3 years. But you would have most likely, most of you here would have been Essenes and Pharisees. Pious Jews trying to keep the law, waiting for the return of the Messiah, the anointed king, and the return of the glory cloud. Just as you are gathered today, here, waiting for the return of Jesus in His second coming. And so the Pharisees have to be understood in that context. Chapters 1 through 8 of Matthew's Gospel, where they are investigating Him. Why does your teacher do this? Why does he do that? They ask Him questions. They come to John the Baptist. Are you the Messiah? No, I'm not. They're trying to figure it out. But the problem is this. Jesus is showing signs. He is doing things and saying things that are not what the Pharisees would have expected from the returned Messiah. And so here we come to chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel. This is a critical turning point in the Gospel story, where the Pharisees have seen Jesus forgive the sins of a man and raise him from his paralysis. You remember the man who was lowered down through the roof. That's the beginning of this chapter. We hear about him healing a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. We hear about him raising a little girl from the dead, the synagogue leader's daughter. Then we hear, the reading today, of him healing two blind men. And then casting out a demon with one word. And the people glorify God who had given such power to men. Never has this ever been seen in Israel, they say. And here's the critical point. The Pharisees now turn and say, he casts out demons or devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Jesus has been rejected by the religious authorities of his time. Today, as we celebrate our parish picnic, St. Elias, who had hard words for the people of his day at the time, some of them did not want to listen. They went off to worship Baal and the other pagan gods. John the Baptist had hard words, having come the spirit of Elijah in those days. Many listened, but many rejected him, saying he had a demon. Jesus came, and he had words and works. Some heard, some saw, because they had eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, and they repented and followed him. Tragically, though, as you know, many did not. And following the Pharisees, concluded that Jesus and his ministry was not of God, but of the devil. As you go into the workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, among your friends, you're going to find there are two groups of people in this world. Those who willingly, because they have eyes to see and ears to hear, repent in their heart and understand. And those that do not. We pray for everyone. For God desires the salvation of all men. And we we leave the determination of that salvation in the hands of God, not for us to determine or try to guess. But what we can do is this. We can change ourselves. We can hear the words of God, as we did in the gospel today, and in the beautiful prayers that we sing. We can see the works of God, miracles. Miracles that happen around us every day. And with the miracles and the words of Jesus, we repent in our heart and change ourselves and live the gospel. As Elijah did in his day, as John the Baptist did, as St. Elias, the parish does, and each of you individually. We are called to be a sign of the gospel in our communities. Let us pray that St. Elias, our parish, continues to be that in the religious community here in San Jose, among all of the churches, that we may continue to be a shining light as the Lord allows us to be of His holy gospel, not only to the churches, but all those who live in this city. May God bless you.